Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Wednesday, April 16th. I'm Olivia Rose. Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's worried new U.S. tariffs will damage some of Alaska's biggest industries, especially commercial fishing.
We send a lot of product to China. And we get a lot of it back from China. So this is something I think that's going to be very significant to us.
President Trump this month announced a new 125% import tax on many Chinese goods, and China has a tariff almost as large on imports from the United States. While seafood was top of mind for Murkowski when reporters in Anchorage asked her about tariffs on Monday, she said she's also heard concern from the mining industry on the cost of imported machinery and equipment. She says the worries extend beyond the resource sector.
What I'm hearing from just the average Alaskan in the airport is, what is it going to mean to me just for the price of consumer goods? And everything from a new car to being able to remodel my house to what I'm paying for groceries.
Murkowski is nearly alone among Republican senators in her outspoken criticism of the Trump administration on a host of policies. Senator Dan Sullivan declined an interview request. Spokeswoman Amanda Kahn said by email that Sullivan believes in open markets, but also believes that China cheats at international trade. If Alaska fishermen are harmed by the tariffs, Kahn says Sullivan will try to get them whatever relief may become available for farmers. Likewise, Congressman Nick Begich declined an interview request and sent an email. Begich says tariffs are needed to restore American manufacturing. Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration released a long-delayed study on the state worker salaries last week. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports.
The study shows that roughly a quarter of the jobs surveyed pay less than the median market wage. The State Department of Administration declined an interview request for this story, but a spokesperson said via email that the survey highlighted areas where the state is competitive and several others where the state needs improvement. Nearly 3,000 state jobs were vacant at the beginning of this year, and public sector union head Heidi Draga says the fact that a quarter or more of the state's workers are underpaid offers some insight on that.
It's no wonder why they're having a difficult time attracting applicants to apply for these jobs, because they simply will make more money in the private sector or in public employment in other states.
Dragas leads the Alaska State Employees Association, which represents a majority of the state's rank and file workers. A few job classes stand out as especially underpaid, according to the study. State biologists and physical scientists, along with wildland firefighters and economists, all earn far less than the market rate. Law enforcement officers tend to be above the market rate. State agencies have traditionally sought to align their pay with the 65th percentile, essentially paying their employees a little bit better than average. Compared to that benchmark, more than 40% of the surveyed jobs are paid less than the market rate. Draga says the state's decision to look at the median salary in addition to the 65th percentile obscures how much the state underpays its employees.
I think the state has done its level best to try to look at it through rose-colored glasses, but when you look at the details, it's abysmal. State salaries have fallen miserably behind.
The Department of Administration, meanwhile, says it asked for both figures in line with past practice. The spokesperson says state officials will review the findings of the study to determine whether salaries need to be adjusted, starting with those that are 10% or more below the market rate. Dragas, the union leader, says she hopes the study spurs the state to offer more competitive wages. She says the union plans to continue a lawsuit seeking to obtain earlier drafts of the study. The state says those were not used in decision-making and are thus not public records. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
International students in Alaska on education visas are among those nationwide facing removal as the Trump administration's immigration crackdown continues. More than 800 students or recent graduates across the country have either seen their visas revoked or their international education records erased. That includes at least four in Alaska. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early spoke to one man in Wasilla who suddenly finds himself caught in the country unlawfully.
Jean Kashikov first visited Alaska in 2017 as a tourist from his home country of Kazakhstan.
We took a cruise out of Whittier and we did a bunch of regular tourist stuff, and I felt like it's a really nice place with really nice people.
Kashikov decided to apply to the University of Alaska Anchorage and began taking courses in 2019. He graduated last May with a bachelor's degree in math, followed by an associate's degree in aviation in December. Now 24 years old, he began working as a self-employed flight instructor in Wasilla in March.
In the last 4 to 5 weeks that I've been doing this, I had a bunch of one-time customers where I gave them, you know, biennial flight reviews, which is something that every pilot needs every 2 years, no matter how small.
Kashikov is able to work in the U.S. under an optional practical training period. It allows international students to remain in the country for 1 year after graduating, so long as they're working in the field they studied. The federal government tracks and documents the students' activities with what's called a Student and Exchange Visitor Information System, or SEVIS record. Kashikov's training period wasn't set to end until January of 2026, but last Thursday, as he was eating breakfast at the Denali family restaurant, he received an email from UAA that his SEVIS record had been terminated.
That basically means that starting this day, you are unlawfully present in the country.
In a statement, University of Alaska officials say a total of 4 UAA students, including one currently enrolled, received a similar revocation without any prior notice. They added that no students from the Fairbanks or Southeast campuses have been impacted so far. Kashikov says he believes the U.S. isn't following its own procedures and laws. At least one experienced immigration lawyer agrees.
This is like totally illegal. Everybody, they know it's illegal, but they're figuring people aren't going to be able to fight it.
That's Margaret Stock, an Anchorage-based attorney and internationally recognized expert on immigration law. She cited research from the National Association of International Educators, which found that more than 800 international students nationwide saw their visas revoked or their SEVIS records terminated in recent weeks.
The president apparently set a goal internally at the White House of deporting 1 million people, and they haven't been able to find enough people who are actually deportable in order to do that.
Stock says instead, the administration is trying to get people to deport themselves by revoking their visas or telling them directly to leave the country. She says there hasn't been a consistent reason given to students for the termination of their visas.
Lately, it's been other, with a vague reference to a criminal records check. So it sounds like they apparently went into some system and found the person had a ticket of some kind, or they got arrested for something, even if no charges were brought against them.
Kashikov admits that he has been arrested before. He says it was 3 years ago in Arizona when he was arrested for blocking a public bus he says refused to pick him up. He had no alcohol or drugs in his system, didn't act violently, and the charges were dropped. He also has a pending speeding ticket in Georgia from August. Stock says neither incident is grounds to deport someone, but many people don't have the resources to take on the federal government in court.
Their strategy is to do things that are illegal because they think people are going to have to go into court and they won't be able to afford a lawyer and they won't be able to fight the government because it costs a lot of money to sue people in federal court.
Kashikov says he's consulted with immigration attorneys who've basically given him 3 options. One is to simply leave the country. Another is to try to get his SEVIS record reinstated, though Stock says the Trump administration is not approving reinstatements right now. A third option is to sue the federal government. Kashikov says he'll most likely just leave.
Since I'm unlawfully present since Thursday, you know, without the wording or anything, they can technically come grab me at any time. So I'm not willing to test them. I want to leave if I can't find a better solution, and now there is no better solution on the horizon as of right now.
Kashikov says he's going to miss Alaska, and at least one of his flight instruction clients says they're going to miss him as well. Kenneth Grote lives in Palmer and says he looked for a flight instructor for more than a year to help him get his sport license before he found Kashikov.
He's a good pilot to start out with, but a good instructor as well. You know, he did maneuvers that I hadn't done in a while, and it just worked out good having a good guy in the cockpit with me.
Grote says Kashikov leaving throws a wrench in his own plans, but it also means the state will be losing a talented worker.
And it just seems like it's hard to find young people to work these days, and John just seemed, for his age, he seemed super motivated, you know, and headed in the right direction. I really wanted him to succeed.
Though his future in Alaska seems to be coming to a close, Kashikov wants others to learn from his experience.
I want the voting public to know that, you know, 6 months later or a year later or whenever, when they come out on the news and say we deported, removed, etc., so many thousands of violent criminals and whatnot, they're going to claim that that's what they've done. And I just want people to know that that's literally not what's happening.
Kashikov received an official notice from the State Department that his visa was revoked on Monday night. As of Tuesday afternoon, he remained in the country. Officials with the State Department and the Kazakhstan embassy, which told Kashikov his visa was revoked, did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
9 Wrangell Middle School wrestlers tried pinning down their opponents earlier this year in Fairbanks at the 49th annual Tanana Individual Wrestling Tournament, and one teammate returned home as a first-place state champion. KSTK's Colette Zarnicki talked with some of the wrestlers to get the scoop on how their travels were on and off the mat.
8th grader Arabella Knorr surprised herself while wrestling on the mat during the state champion tournament. She pinned her opponent in the final, even though she was losing by 1 in the third round.
Just wasn't expecting it at all. I was like, wait, did they say my name or something like that? It's really overwhelming because there's a lot of people.
Coach Jack Carney says there were about 2,000 people in the gym. With all that pressure, he says Knorr did a really good job against a really strong girl.
It was a really exciting match because she was down by 1 point in the third round, and she had to choose. The girl chose top, so Arabella was on bottom, so she had to get up and out. And while she was getting up and out, she flipped the girl over and pinned her. So she won by pin in the third round, and the crowd went crazy. She was the first match of the night, so everybody was really excited to see that.
He says this was the biggest turnout at the Tanana tournament so far, with about 800 students participating from the whole state. Carney says it's tricky to place because the wrestlers are competing against everybody from the biggest to the smallest schools.
Some of the grandfathers in the crowd had wrestled in this tournament back in the 70s, right? I wrestled in it back in the late 90s, and so it's just kind of a... It's kind of nostalgic for everybody. That's why they don't want to move it, but it's kind of getting to the point where they've got to find a new venue.
Another Wrangell wrestler is 6th grader Jonah Hurst. He's in his first year wrestling in middle school and placed 6th in the tournament.
It was packed full of people and just screaming nonstop because people are all excited. And then I don't even know how many people were watching the matches like online.
He says he loves wrestling so much that he plans on continuing the sport through high school and maybe even college.
So when you get out there on the mat and you know lots of people are watching you, and it just gives you confidence and adrenaline, kind of.
Another teammate is 6th grader Mariah Carney, who placed 11th. After 8th place, the tournament doesn't keep track anymore, though. But that didn't stop her from being excited about wrestling. And as the benefit of being the coach's daughter, she's been wrestling since she was just 4 years old.
I just like wrestling. And so it's mostly the same, no matter if you're in the finals or if you're just wrestling match, your goal is to win.
Aside from wrestling, the group visited ice sculptures, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and the Museum of the North. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
It's official. A Ketchikan woman now holds the Guinness World Record for largest female mouth gape. That's how wide you can open your mouth vertically. Guinness World Records announced Marie Pearl Zelmer Robinson as the new record holder in a video last week. The video opens with Robinson holding a very large cheeseburger.
Triple cheeseburger. Sextuple cheeseburger. Octuple cheeseburger. Deca burger.
Robinson narrates as she fits 10 burger patties and 2 buns between her teeth. A Ketchikan dentist measured her open jaw at over 3 inches wide. She shattered the previous record held by a Connecticut woman by more than half an inch.
Having a record for something is like making a fact for the whole world to learn from. And people look at that and they think, that's something that really exists. I wonder if I can do that.
Robinson said if anyone thinks they can beat her world-class jaw, she welcomes the challenge. For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.